Docket number 141-13, paren 3, close parens. Gordon, petition for special permit site plan approval at 74 Newtonville Avenue, Ward 1. We opened a public hearing previously. There's a continuation, just for the record. Terry, how are you?
Oh, you're here.
I'm Mark Laredo. I'm the alderman at large from Ward 7 and the chair of the committee. With me this evening are Deb Crosley, alderman at large from Ward 5, Susan Albright, alderman at large from Ward 2, Jim Cody, alderman at large from Ward 3, Scott Lennon, alderman at large and president of the board from Ward 1, our committee clerk Linda Finucane and deputy legal counsel Rita Young, and we're also joined by Dan Sexton from the planning department. We are being audio recorded. So you want to take it away?
Okay. So yes, this is a 1374 Newtonville Ave. This is a special permit to allow retaining walls greater than 4 feet in height, 2 parking stalls in the front setback. Just to kind of refresh everybody's memory, what we're looking at again is that requested relief to locate the retaining walls above that are exceed 4 feet in height. You've got the 2 parking spaces in the front setback, as well as a reduction of the setback requirement, our offset from the street. And both of those reliefs are reviewed through the site plan approval and special permit processes. So, in considering the following project, the members of the Land Use Committee should be considering whether the proposed retaining walls will not adversely affect the neighborhood, whether the 2 parking spaces, as they've been designed and shown on the plan submitted by the petitioner, and the site itself, make the literal compliance with literal compliance is impractical due to the nature of the use, the location, size, width, depth, shape, or grade of the lot, and that such exceptions are in the public interest. And then the proposed parking stalls, retaining walls, both within the front yard setback, will not be a nuisance or serious hazard to vehicles or pedestrians in the neighborhood. So with that, what I can do is, for Dr. Clifford. This is a shot of the proposed site plan, which you all had in the packet, which staff did find to be vastly improved compared to the initial submittal that was reviewed last year. On the plan, the petitioner has shown or demarcated the designated parking stalls in there, has shown the infiltration system, as well as accommodated items that we had not initially asked to do, but located a snow storage area on the site, so we don't have issues of where the snow is going to be moved from and stored, as well as showing all of the conditions and stuff on the site, and that was a request by the committee last time, which really kind of lays out or shows more recent construction activities on the property, which I would reference is mainly the retaining walls in the rear of the property. So, and just to add that the plans have been reviewed by the engineering department. They are satisfied with them, and they feel that based on the designs and everything that have been incorporated in, specifically speaking to the infiltration system, that it should be adequate to handle the proposed impervious surface area for the site, as well as runoff from the snow storage area.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Deb?
I was really pleased to see the improvement in the plans, and this time they have a complete set of engineering documents that are very clear and easy to understand, and that show us that the previous engineer's documents were actually incorrect, and that they looked incorrect, but you couldn't tell why they were incorrect. And so, it didn't seem possible that there could be a need for a 12-foot retaining wall, which was being shown last time. So this is a very, when you go up and down the street and you see the neighbor's properties, You have pictures of that. You know, they're doing a similar thing, and they've only got about a 5-foot retaining wall in order to accomplish that. And this is, you know, really very similar. I think it's next door to that one.
Yeah.
And I think it's thoughtful to have a snow storage area. It's a reasonable project, and I'm pleased to see the extra work put into it, because now it's very clear what's going to be built, and I will support the project.
Anyone else have any questions, Alderman Albright?
I'll only say that I agree with you. I don't have to say it all again.
I just have a question. I take it this driveway is still going to have a slope, though, Alderman.
It will still have a slight slope, I think, from the property line to the toe of the retaining wall. It will rise approximately a foot and a half to 2 feet. It's kind of right in there.
And now it rises, what, 5 feet? 4 feet?
Right now, you have 7 to 8, because you'd be looking at that in addition to the retaining wall that's being constructed.
Right, so. But the retaining wall is only 4 feet, right, on that side. Five and a half in the back.
Five and a half in the back.
But on the side is only...
It starts to taper down. If you look at the engineering plans, it tapers down on both sides towards the property line.
Alderman Lennon?
I don't necessarily have any questions at this point in time, but I did want to make some recommendations on conditions.
Why don't we do this? Let me first see if there's any questions from the any comments from members of the public. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard? Yes, sir? You can state your name and address,
sure,
and speak to us.
My name is Nathan Walter. I'm a resident of 71 Eagle Ave. Across the street from the petitioner and resident taxpayer over 25 years back west. My wife, Kathleen Walker, spoken at the public hearing on 513. And we want to take the opportunity to have, we had several additional questions. And we wanted to share some additional comments to the committee prior to moving towards a working session of considering the request. Number one, we're challenged to find what is truly special about this request. We believe that the site is not special, and that the information provided by the petitioner does not actually support the request. The petitioner puts forward several examples of the properties on New Eagle Ave, i.e. 68 and 130 New Eagle Ave, that have similar retaining walls with parking within setback. What is not provided is that neither of these examples, to our knowledge, has or ever had quote-unquote existing adequate parking in garage spaces within their structures, like that is present in the petitioner structure. The example cited was created to provide alternate parking where none existed. That would seem to meet the litmus test of a special request. Providing a leap and the mere inconvenience of a very common sloped driveway, in our opinion, does not. And supporting documentation that's been provided, although vastly improved, appears to be still lacking. The petition has provided engineering drawings of enclosed retaining walls and drainage systems. We are not engineers, so we would defer comment to the city's engineering department as to whether or not the information contained therein is sufficient to meet the city's requirements. However, after reviewing the documentation, it did not seem clear to us where the existing grade condition of the current full driveway was, what it was, and what would the grade of the parking result in from the completion of the proposed project? You discussed this briefly just a few minutes ago. The petitioner's engineer, who was present at the 513 public hearing, seemed from his comments to indicate that there would still be a slope grade even after the completion of the work. This was confirmed by the comments just a few minutes ago as well. This begs the question, why would the petitioner expend such considerable resources in undertaking a project that really does not create the desired result, which is essentially a level driveway? further review of the documentation failed to reveal any information regarding the specifications and the detail of the modular stone product that is being proposed for use. What is this product? What does it look like? Is there a brochure or specs on this product? It seems reasonable to think so, yet none were provided. Do the provided engineering drawings support the manufacturer's recommended installation specifications and vice versa? Also, there is no architectural detail provided about the proposed railing that is to be installed on the top of the retaining wall. Like the rest of the photos depicting proposed scope of work, it appears the petitioner grabbed an image from an off-the-shelf Omohavia software library and pasted it into a photo of the house. Certainly this would not meet the standard for professional support material typically provided for similar special permit requests. The concept of the property improvement potentially enriching the neighborhood is seriously in question. Beyond the technical review, we believe the evaluation on whether to grant the special permit should consider whether the proposed project would not only meet the petitioner's individual needs, but also blend in with the existing structures that populate the immediate neighborhoods and hopefully improve upon it. We believe in and support projects that are planned and executed with not just the singular aim of addressing one individual's desire, but also in a process that lends sensitivity to its surrounding environment and their occupants. The petitioner's structure mirrors those constructed around the same time at 80 and 82 Newton Mill. All were sited on lots with considerable slope. Their split-level design helps compensate for a slope lot and allows for a full two-car garage and is very common. Although not perfect or unique in design, these homes address the challenges of their site, are very functional, blend in well with much older structures in the neighborhood, and in many ways are the quintessential suburban home of the time. The owners of these homes have over the years made improvements to their structures. For example, the previous owner of the petitioner's own structure installed a well-designed terrace walkway and steps that eloquently connects the structure to both the top and bottom of the driveway. This was an indication to us that the previous owner recognized this was an appropriate compromise to creating safe travel for his desire and accepting the inherent conditions of the structure's site.
As sir, could I ask you to
yeah, as mentioned in the fire search and plumbing, the owner had safely lived with the children without incident in the last 15 years. No different from the owners that preceded him, no doubt. He seems to have a clear recognition that the structures are what they are, and in many ways, and don't pretend to be anything else. It was clearly a win-win for both the owner and the neighborhood. Refusal to accept or recognize these inherent conditions and embarking on a journey to build on what is reasonable is wrought with problems will most likely never achieve the desired result. Taking on such a task would seem to require a unique set of skills and a history of creatively addressing design challenges and successfully executing such tasks. The petitioner offers no support that their engineers or contractors possess such unique skills or performance history. The image provided of the intended desired result sadly left us feeling that the project would be judged aesthetically challenged using any reasonable standard.
Sir, are you all set?
One second. However, demonstrating the excessive stubbornness and arrogance and lack of sensitivity to the other's concerns, the petitioner boldly requested to undertake just such a task. The detailed construction plan or standard, is it a plan or is it really standard boilerplate template? The petitioner has submitted what is referred to as a construction management
sir,
plan.
Sir, now, we typically allow comments for 3 minutes. If you could wrap up, please,
okay.
I appreciate it.
I would just call attention to the construction plan management plan that was submitted. There's no real detailed project schedule that would be typical of a project like this. So there's no real information for detailed tasks, schedule, et cetera, a beginning and an end. Makes a lot of promises to an adherence to city ordinances, yet the city is on record of capturing that the petitioner has been unable to actually adhere to such ordinances, and incite the memo that was submitted today to the committee.
Sir, what I'm going to suggest is this. If you have written remarks and you want to submit them to our committee clerk, they've been submitted.
Okay. I emailed this to everybody today.
Edward, you need, I wanted to do it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir, and we'll take your comments into consideration. We do try to keep our public comment limited. I know we've been all joined by Alderman Leary, Ward Alderman from Ward 1, the committee, but always welcome. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard at this time? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
All in favor of closing the public hearing? Four in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Do we have a motion before us, or will someone make a motion on whether to approve this particular petition?
Okay, as the Ward Alderman is indicating that he's not prepared to make a motion, I'll make the motion.
All right.
I'll move approval.
Motion's been made. Do we have a draft board order? I want to assure anybody who's attending here that whatever materials get submitted to us, I trust that I will read and my colleagues will read. Members of the board get everything. Things go carefully.
Quarter five in the evening is a little bit late.
Well, we may not be able to do it this evening, but certainly before a full board vote, this all goes to everybody as well.
It went to everybody today.
I have a nice day.
Ron, thank you. Quarter five for the late in the day.
I understand that. Are we all set?
Thank you, Vita.
All right. So we're going to start off with our proposed findings. I know in the past we've been going through these and just, but why don't we put them up on the screen and walk them through a little bit, okay?
So the proposed findings, the constraints present on the property, specifically the significant grade of the lot and seasonal conditions, make the use of the existing steeply sloped driveway impractical for the current owners.
Any concern there, folks? Okay. Next.
The specific site is an appropriate location for the reconstructed driveway, as other neighboring properties have accounted for the significant grade of the area and accommodated the off-street parking of vehicles in a similar manner, and the petitioner has based the design of the retaining walls and driveway on neighboring properties.
Any concern there? Okay. Third.
Proposed relief for retaining walls greater than 4 feet in height in the front setback will not adversely affect the neighborhood, as all runoff from the driveway area will be contained on the site.
Are we comfortable that it will be contained per our engineering report? Okay.
The proposed parking stalls in the front setback will not create a nuisance or be a serious hazard to the vehicles or pedestrians in the neighborhood.
Let me just ask, just confirm here, there's adequate room between the sidewalk and the driveway, correct?
Yeah, so right now, as proposed, the parking spaces and the proposed 4.5-foot setback from the rear of the vehicle, or the parking stall, I should say, to the property line, and then you have the additional portion of the right-of-way, which is dedicated to the sidewalk.
So this driver pulls in, standard size vehicle, or even a station wagon, there will be, just to be clear, there will be room between the rear of that vehicle and the sidewalk.
Yes. And the petitioner did indicate one of the reasons that they're looking to reduce that setback is, which was identified by the engineer at the public hearing, was if they move closer to the house, they run into more issues of potentially undermining the existing structure. So they felt that the current setback and offset from the existing structure was adequate to meet.
And the setback would be 5 feet otherwise. Or and they're looking for 6 inches, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
And then the literal compliance with the parking requirements is impractical due to the grade of the lot. So really we're focusing on that slew of options that the board has, the members of the Lions Committee have in front of them to select from. Really, we're looking at the grade and significance.
Can I just go back to the parking stalls? And when we're talking about relief, we have a measurement for parking stalls, which takes into account the size of reasonably large vehicles.
Yeah, it actually shows the 9x19 parking stall that is prescribed by the ordinance.
Okay. I just want to reassure anybody who's listening or anybody reading this that we are accounting for safe traffic along the sidewalk here. This will be within the property. There's not going to be cars sticking out. We're not going to have any of those issues. And we are talking about a regular-sized parking stall that we're seeking relief of 6 inches from.
The other thing I would note, in correlation with finding number five, is really looking at, even though the petitioner has suggested somewhat of a sloping driveway, if they were to go completely level, they run into a number of different issues, which would include the drainage issue. You know, how are they going to accommodate that with doing a completely flat or very limited slope driveway? And would also result in an increase of the retaining wall. So I think the project as proposed is a good balance between that and doesn't adversely affect the surrounding neighborhood and streetscape.
And runoff from snow from the driveway as it melts, for example, in the winter will be caught on site.
Correct. Based on the proposed plan, so you've got your trench drain at the end, and then you've also got your kind of clean out area as well, which with openings to be able to capture runoff from that.
And just again, our city inspectors go out once the special permit is granted, before occupancy is given, and they review that drainage to make sure it complies, right?
Yes, what we will have, which is standard practice for all building permits that come in, regardless of whether, I guess, especially in instances where engineering requires a sign-off, we will get an affidavit from the petitioners or the applicant's design professional certifying that it has been constructed in accordance with the plans, meets the minimum standards that are prescribed by the city ordinance and regulations. And then if there is cause for an issue, say that they go out there and something is off, then they can request additional verification from that design professional to explain that potential discrepancy. But normally the building inspectional services department of engineering rely significantly on that professional and that affidavit.
But can we require that affidavit be by a professional engineer?
It usually is. I don't think we say professional, but someone who's licensed.
The only reason I said that is you said at one point the owner, and I want to be clear that we're not just
if we say a registered architect or an engineer certifying compliance
normally the person who designed it.
So we're not relying on just some owners. So I want to reassure people, we're not just relying on some owner's certification. We have someone putting their professional license on the line when they sign something. Okay. Any other questions on the findings? Yes, Alderman Clancy.
Just for the record, a lot of people have talked about the slope, and I agree with your assessment of achieving a balance. This is a very modest slope that they're proposing to keep. In fact, I actually thought that the previous one where the driveway was pretty much dead nuts level was not going to work very well. So for the record, could you just speak the length of the driveway, the run versus the rise? They're going to go up a foot over 20 feet, is that what it is?
And while you're doing that, we've been joined by Alderman Lipoff, Alderman Large from Ward 8, and a member of the committee.
While he's looking it up, maybe Alderman could explain that it's not a special permit, and that really means that it's not special, and that's
If you want to take a minute just so we can educate any member of the public who's concerned.
All that means is that there are certain types of uses or dimensional waivers which are permitted as long as the Board of Aldermen has an opportunity to review them and determine that they're appropriate for that location. It's not like you have to come in as you would with a variance and show there's something unique about this property or a hardship. It's a much less burden, and it's specifically allowed in the zoning ordinance as long as you go through a particular process and meet particular criteria. So it doesn't have to be unique and special.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so as is shown on the cross-section detail on the plans that were submitted with the application, we have an overall run of the driveway of 21.2 feet, and the elevation change is going to be 1.5.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to hear that in the record, because that's a very modest sidewalk-type slope.
Yeah. Any further on the findings? Yes.
It's not really on the findings, but given that we've had discussion that the waiver on the setback is from 5 feet to 4.5 feet, which is 6 inches. We might say in the explanatory note, where it notes that we're waiving the 5 foot setback and allowing a 4.5 foot setback, so there's no confusion. Yeah, it's on the plans, obviously, but we can put it in. Yeah.
I think that makes good sense. Okay. Thank you. All right, let's move on to the conditions. And why don't you just highlight anything that would be considered unusual?
Okay, so we have our typical plan reference conditions. Some of these are carryovers from last year when we did review the same condition, as well as some additional conditions to kind of take into consideration some concerns that were identified by a number of the aldermen on the land use committee. So what we have is that the petitioner shall use a contractor licensed in Commonwealth of Massachusetts to construct and oversee all aspects of the proposed retaining wall project.
This is my way.
That petitioner shall, upon the request of the Engineering Division of the Department of Public Works, provide to the Engineering Division, the Inspectional Services Department, and the Department of Planning and Development, engineering reports documenting the progress of the construction of the retaining wall, and the petitioner shall make every effort to complete the project in a reasonable time frame so as to minimize any disturbance from the surrounding neighborhood.
Yes, Alderman Lennon.
So I wanted to, first of all, if I take a minute, I appreciate Rita put this together with a number of conditions I want to give the proper credit on a number of conditions that I had requested that are actually in there, so I'm just making sure that I think it's very well done. I just wanted to clarify a couple things, though, if I could. And I don't know if this is the right time to bring up this specific one with regard to the construction management plan that was submitted. The construction management plan is dated October 1st, 2013, and talks about the removal of buildings and things like that. I would still like to have a construction management plan or tailor it somehow. I don't know if it's in this number three condition somewhere in here that's a little bit more applicable to what we're doing. It talks about, you know, contacting the ward alderman if there are any issues and things along that line. And I specifically went through and highlighted some areas where it says old buildings, demolition activity, things like that, that don't really seem to apply anymore. So, you know, they went through the trouble of submitting this construction management plan. I think it's a useful tool. I'd like to see it as part of the condition, somewhere in the conditions. And so I'd like to see it updated.
Okay.
So we do have a stipulation, because we did acknowledge that this was from the previous review. And had not been fully updated to the current submittal. So we stipulated in 8E that the petitioner, before the issuance of the building permit, they have to provide a final construction management plan that has to be approved by ISD, engineering, planning, and the police department.
Great. All right. So we're now on 3. Any problems with any of this so far?
Nope.
Okay. 4 is the noise control.
Yes. So that petitioner shall comply with the noise control ordinance of the City of Newton, including the time restrictions, which only permit the generation of noise from construction and demolition activities from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekdays and from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturdays. No noise from construction and demolition activities shall be generated at any hour on Sundays and those legal holidays observed by the City of Newton.
That's a given, isn't it? Our rules and laws. Yes. I mean, why are we putting it in here?
Because I specifically requested that it be in here. There have been some inquiries that have been made of me over the course of the last year that there was work done outside of these particular times. It's also mentioned in the construction management plan. And specifically, I wanted to amend to 7 o'clock on Saturdays to be 5 o'clock.
Amend 7, what is that?
On here, the amend of Saturdays is to be 5
o'clock? 5 p.m.
5 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. on Saturdays or weekdays.
And in some of the documentation that we received in our last planning department memo.
So you have some information that that they haven't been following the rules.
But it's really not germane here, so I'm glad that it's in here. I'm trying to work within the framework of the relief that's being requested. And I think it's an unreasonable request to strengthen the board order to have it in there.
And we do oftentimes put in advisory conditions which reference existing just reminding people.
We shall comply with the noise control ordinance. We don't hear. It's adding the reminder of what that says.
So to remind you of the petition of the rule that's already on the books.
The last point I wanted to make, Alderman Lipoff, just to reference documentation that was supplied to everybody, okay, was I had asked a question at the public hearing about the fence being fixed, which it was. We were provided an email chain between the petitioner and the condo association that it was. Okay, but in here, I noticed that some of the work was done on a Sunday. The repair of the fence, the removal of the logs was done actually on a holiday. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify.
Double whammy.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that the per the construction management plan and the board order that it's all being complied with. That's all. And I'd like to amend that on Saturdays the work was commenced. Well, complete by 5.
Alderman Crosley.
What's the law on that on Saturday?
Seven.
So we're asking to be done even 2 hours earlier.
Well, Alderman,
against the typical law.
Rick?
Yeah.
Hold on. Alderman Crosley.
So just a point of clarification. On the NORS ordinance, as I remember the ordinance, it specifies a certain type of noise. I just wanted to be clear about this. It's not that you can't do anything on your house after 5 o'clock, or you can do like the kind of work you do in your garage or work on a fence or something like that. It's that you can't exceed a certain decibel level. Mm-hmm. Something like that?
No, they're both decimal level, so you are right about that, but there's also an absolute time prohibition. However, there are times when you can do stuff when, frankly, you're not making any noise.
I mean, again, you can do a home project at your house. But you can't have a construction crew.
I know. So that you always get into that question. I think it's much easier for people not to get into a debate and simply say you won't do any construction, but that's not what the noise ordinance controls. It controls noise.
Right.
So if there is some activity that can go on, for example, construction work that is interior often creates no exterior noise. It doesn't specify in the noise ordinance that it's only outside construction. I actually checked to see, but if there's interior construction that's not generating noise outside of the structure, that's not going to be prohibited because you're attacking the noise and not the activity per se.
Right. I just wanted to be clear about that. So, I mean, somebody's shoveling dirt or backfilling by hand or something like that. I mean, there's no confusion and neighbors aren't going to say, oh, you know, somebody's using a shovel and it's 8 o'clock, you know, so.
We've been joined by Alderman Heim, Ward Alderman from Ward 4, and a member of the committee. Folks, Alderman Albright.
So just, I'm for my own sake, if you're carrying logs down a hill and putting them in a truck, does that count as construction?
May depend on what the truck says.
Fixing your screen door.
It comes up as like construction activities that are generating noise. It's very general in its verbiage. So, you know, it could be, but we had mentioned, if you had, you know, a contractor that was painting, that's not creating any noise with a paintbrush. Granted, now if they have an air compressor and they're spray painting, that's creating noise that could potentially, if it was done after the hours, could be considered as.
As a matter of form, I think generally references to an ordinance are appropriate. They're reminders for people who may not otherwise peruse our ordinances on a regular basis. If Alderman Lennon wants to add the time in there as an extra reminder, I wouldn't do it for lots of petitions, but I think it's something that's well within our discretion.
And actually shortening the time that's allowed by law by 2 hours is okay as well, if we so choose.
And I could see certain circumstances, and I'm not suggesting this is one or not one, where that might be very appropriate. You might be near a school, for example, okay? You might have other, you might be near a church or a synagogue. I could see if you were next to a synagogue, for example, you might impose an absolute ban on noise on a Saturday.
Is that the case we have here?
Pardon?
No.
I'm wondering if that's the case we have here.
No. We don't have this case here. We're in a residential neighborhood, and Newtonville Avenue is a pretty quiet street. Mm-hmm. But Alderman Alderman.
So we've had this kind of conversation over the, you know,
it's always
a balance between, so you want to get the project over with and get it done, and not shorten the time, or you want to shorten the time and make it easier for the residents. And we've talked about that kind of balance on the committee in the past.
You know, let me just ask the petitioner. Do the petitioners, are you planning on doing work at 6 or 7 on Saturday evening?
No. All right. Never be doing work.
No, I'm just, if we put a restriction in here that limits you to 5, is that at all an issue for you?
No problem. All
right. Then if they don't mind this request, then I finally do it at 5 p.m. Does that satisfy you, Alderman Leonard?
Yep.
All right. Anything else on 4? 5? I think that's standard, isn't it? That you stage everything on site?
Yeah, we're supposed to.
No, I mean, it is kind of standard language, but I mean, it's kind of on a case-by-case basis.
I mean, that's the law.
And oftentimes, I mean, this type of verbiage will be encapsulated in a construction manual.
Okay. Yeah.
Can we go on? And does anyone have any objection to 5?
No.
All right, 6. Let me ask the petitioners, have you seen this proposed language?
Yeah.
Do you have, I mean, I don't know how many construction vehicles you're planning on having here. Are you going to have a problem obeying this?
So this says that we need to stay on the even side.
That's correct.
Of the street?
Yes.
I think we can handle that. I think that'll be fine.
The one thing I would like to know, just for clarification for everybody, on Newtonville Ave, I wasn't able to drive out there and confirm before the meeting tonight, but looking at Google Earth, on the south side, there is a 2-hour limitation from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. On the north side of the street, there is not a limitation. So, as a result of this condition, the petitioner will either result in their contractors moving their vehicles every 2 hours, not obeying it, or going to the police department to seek authorization to exceed the 2-hour limit.
How many construction vehicles do you anticipate having?
We have both our cars that won't need to, that can't park there.
I understood, but they're not construction vehicles.
Oh, so construction? Two. 1 to 2, but then when you have trucks to deliver, that probably won't be enough.
So can I understand this? There's not a residential parking limitation on the street, first of all. There's not of any kind, so your cars can go anywhere. I don't know how long the duration of the job needs to be. I do know that you can get permits from the city to park specific, and you give the license plate construction vehicles.
Temporary permit
for the duration of the project. So, just in case that helps anybody deal with this.
Okay.
I don't know why I don't know what the rationale is for being on one side of the street.
I guess my concern is if the police department does not grant these people the waiver, what do they do then?
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Sir, go ahead. I'll let you.
I already solved this problem. Down the road, I already spoke with the business associate. Yes, the parking spot over there for a dumpster. And also for every vehicle that brings a car. So it is on, yes, it's a business. So it's down the road, so this issue, because of last time, I think we got maybe.
So,
I think this issue is already solved.
You say that you're going to be able to park all the construction vehicles
and also
on the dumpster on somebody's property.
I have also the.
It's a business that we talked about.
What business is on Newtonville Avenue?
There's a business on Newtonville Avenue right across from the cabin.
All the way down the other side of Newtonville Avenue.
On the other side of
Newtonville Avenue. That's where you're going to park your construction vehicles?
Well, we have an agreement with the owner.
No, I'm talking about the business owner. I'm going to have a dumpster there. I'm paying, obviously, like the rent. for a month. I'm going to. Until November, we can, and you said it's fine.
I want to just understand this, sir, so we don't have confusion, and frankly, nobody's back here. So there's a dump, you're putting your...
I can't put a dumpster next to my house.
You're putting a dumpster off-site, I understand that.
Yes.
And the construction vehicles, and your contractors...
In case we run above the two that we say we permit, so we can definitely do what Parliament suggested regarding doing a permit for constant cars that we know will be there for the entire time, but if we have people that maybe come only 2 days out of the 2 weeks or something like that, we can use that spot for them to park there.
So this is an addition to
addition
waivers you
need. You need to have two construction vehicles on the site, but any additional vehicles you're saying will not be there.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Alderman Lennon, I think this is your language, so do you want to...
The reason being was that area of Newtonville Ave, I don't think people...
I know it well.
It's a very tight street. When you're working on the type of project that they have here, that seems to be all towards the front of the street, the retaining wall, all that kind of stuff, it just seems that there could be, you know, it's a difficult area. So I said, if we try to limit construction vehicles that are somewhat bigger to one side of the street of the project, it made more sense, that's all. Still need to have a free flow on each group of the lot. It's a tough area.
Okay, so it's for sure passable traffic.
Yeah. All right. So are we, are folks comfortable with number six? Okay, fine. Seven, I don't understand what the sidewalk crossing permit issue is here.
This is, again, just as an advisory condition that stipulates the petitioner shall apply for and receive a sidewalk crossing permit from the Department of Public Works prior to commencing construction of the retaining wall authorized by the special permit.
Okay.
Because they will have to.
Yeah, you always have to do this.
Yes. You're supposed to.
It's unusual to have it in a board order. I mean, this is standard procedure.
We can take it out.
And they must do it.
It's a requirement. And then eight, and you have expanded building permit conditions.
Yeah, I didn't list them in there, but if you
everyone has it in front of them, take a look. If anyone has questions, let's raise them now. And then nine is the same with the final inspection, just an added stuff, right?
And I can say on eight, E and F are beyond our typical. So E and F are our petition, what we would normally have for standards.
Why would the new police department approve this?
For the construction management plans. So they're looking at the parking of vehicles. It would further reinforce if they do expect to exceed that 2 hours. You know, they would be identifying through their review that you need to get your permit.
Understood. Thank you. Okay.
It's just a checks and balance.
Okay.
Can I just ask a question?
Please.
When would we expect an updated construction management plan?
That would come in, that would be required to be submitted prior to the issuance of the building permit.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions here or comments? We've been joined by Alderman Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee, Alderman at Large from Ward 6. We're now the full complement. All right. Anything else, folks? There's a motion by Alderman Albright to approve. All in favor? Show of hands. And seven in favor. Any opposed? Any abstentions? One abstention, Alderman Lennon. It's been approved, 7-0. This will be taken up at the regular board meeting on June 2nd. You're not required to attend. You're welcome to attend. If you have any questions, contact our clerk. Thank you all for coming. Much appreciate your input. Good luck with your project. All right. I'm going to get to Coach of the Phillies next. Sorry, Mr. Morris, but he'll be quick.
Sorry, Coach of the whatever.
This is Document 212-12, friends, two close friends. Michael Sokolowski, trustee of 1081 Washington Street Realty Trust, petition for a one-year extension of time to exercise a special permit. I'm glad to see you're dressed up for us tonight. Full disclosure, my son played for the Phillies many years ago. Alan was coaching then. Alan will probably be coaching forever. Not a good night, huh, sir?
I had an upright son on the 1988
Farm League Giants. Are there
any shows in here? Literally.
Baseball?
That's why I was late tonight. I was at a Little League game.
Oh, my God. You guys at Little League.
Thank you.
We won in 1988. I think it was probably around the late 90s. Anyways, what's the fun of us?
This petition was approved in December of 2012. And as usual, it has a one-year time. The ordinance actually says that you can grant an extension per year whether or not the time has expired. So what happened was that in the course of getting the permit approved, the building was significantly modified by about 25% or so, and rearranged onto a second floor, and the parking was rearranged significantly, and the committee and the board approved it. The tenant, however, had a hard time with the mattress. But over the past year, they have come back and renegotiated, and we have a new lease arrangement, so that now they are anxious to get going. You know, I'm sorry that we didn't come in, didn't know early before the time was expired, but we'd like to ask for the extension that the ordinance provides for.
So let me just be clear for the record. The 1 year has expired, but you are allowed under our ordinances to come in within the additional 1 year to seek relief. Is that correct, Rita?
Yes, it is.
Any comment, questions? Can I have a motion? It's your ward, Jim. Six or three, correct?
Barbara Farm Market, formerly.
All right. All in favor of granting the extension? Eight in favor, none opposed. Thank you.
And you don't need findings.
Yeah.
Cardinals next week.
Thank you. The land use is stuff again.
Thank you,
Alan. All right, folks. I'm really going to try to get us out of here by a reasonable hour tonight. Terry, you're going to have to help us here. It's 128-14 George M. and Walia Dungeon. Forgive me for mispronouncing. Special permit site plan approval to construct a one-story addition at 50-52 Noble Street, Ward 3. We had a public hearing. We opened the public hearing last time. We now have some plans. Dan, why don't you take us through this?
So actually, I was going to allow Terry to do more of an expanded explanation of the project, unless you
don't want to. No, I actually want you to do it.
I will
work through it.
So,
all right, Dan.
What?
Dan, you're doing great.
Although I do want Terry to, I'll leave it. Go ahead.
So the petitioner is seeking relief to exceed the allowable FAR and to extend a non-conforming use. Mr. King reviewed the site plan approval and special permit process. So in consideration of the petition before you, you should be considering the following. So we're looking at whether the proposed FAR of 0.61, where 0.48 maximum allowed by right and 0.56 is existing, is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. The proposed addition is not substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood than the existing non-conforming structure. And the site is an appropriate location for the proposed addition. The proposed addition will not adversely affect the neighborhood. So, with that, this is the property in question, 5052 Noble Street. This is the revised site plan, which shows the relocated deck, which was not shown correctly on the previous site plan. I would also note that per this new site plan, some of the setbacks the existing offset between the building and the property line has changed, and the lot coverage calculation has changed. However, in neither of those instances did it result in additional relief needing to be sought. So we can still move this petition forward under the existing are previously noticed.
So could you just, I see the proposed addition there on the left.
Yes.
You have the existing covered decks. Where is the deck getting moved to?
The deck is not, it got moved to that location. It previously...
I'm sorry.
Okay. Here, I'll actually...
The deck is getting, forgive me.
Yeah. So this was the original site plan that was in your packet.
Yep.
This was the location of the deck. The deck has since been moved to the north.
Okay. And the addition service, is this a side-by-side addition or up in a two-family? Or
one-story addition.
No, but the...
Oh, yeah.
That's my, that was my memory. And so this addition is for one unit.
That's correct.
Okay.
And with that, to reflect the, also to reflect the revised site plan and offsets, the petitioner also had the landscape plan revised to reflect the proposed plan. So we had consistent plans, which are all referenced in the draft order that I'll put for you shortly. So this is the rear, this is kind of the elevation drawing showing the rear of the house from the north and south perspective. As you can see, it is really only just this one-story addition from the north. It's largely obscured by the existing two-story deck that's there. And then on the south side, as proposed in the landscaping plan, they're looking at reinforcing with some vegetative plantings. And then to the rear of the house, we have a lot of existing vegetation that screen the proposed development from that location.
Alderman Crosland and Schwartz.
Okay, thank you. First a question. The FAR calculation, I noticed in the documents the first floor is exactly 4 feet above normal grade. And so therefore, is a portion of the basement being counted? Is that why the FAR is so high?
Yes.
Okay. So probably if that weren't the case, I mean, you're right at the line of what counts as FAR, that we might not even be here.
Yes, Mr. Morris, go ahead.
You may not recall that I had done an analysis of the entire street. One of the things that's unique about this street is that virtually all of the single-family houses that were constructed there back in the 1920s had elevated first floors, and they have therefore had more than four feet extended.
Yep.
Virtually every case, the basement counts, and they all exceed the FAR.
Okay. A small point, I know, well, it might be why we're here. So, because the FAR is pushing this in this direction, I just couldn't help but notice the sort of low pitch of the roof on the addition and how it's, at least as it's drawn, it's brought jammed right up underneath the windows, which isn't technically a great idea, and you don't have to do it. You could drop it down a little bit. But I also noticed that the you have a very high floor to roof line. You have 10 feet there. So you have the ability to drop it down and improve the pitch and make it a little safer for the building. Just a suggestion. The only way it possibly relates to our conversation here is that it would reduce the scale of it a little bit and make it a little less of a giant flat wall that the neighbor's looking at.
My clients are aware
that
we'll take that.
Thank you. That's it.
Alderman Schwartz.
Actually, the last sentence that you had on the Crossley about the neighbor looking at that wall is related to my question. I had not noticed until you had the new site plan up there that this addition seems to block the view of that deck to the south, I suppose. Southward views. I was just wondering, what's the ownership of this house? I mean, it's 50. Are the two different owners, or is it one owner or two? So that's why. So is it a rental or something like that? Okay. That's why we haven't heard from that neighbor saying, "Hey, you're taking away my view."
Yeah.
That's a good reason. Just want to make sure, yeah.
Any other members of the committee? Seeing none, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard? I don't think we have any public members. Can I have a motion to close the public hearing? So moved. All in favor of closing the public hearing? In favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to approve?
The motion to approve.
All right. Proposed findings of order.
know, he doesn't... That's okay.
Don't worry.
Can you put all your construction vehicles on one side of the street? Can we put all your construction vehicles on one side?
Different standards for different people.
I didn't say that. I want to be on record. That was Rick Lipoff, what age?
I was responding to your little...
Why were on the record, folks? Folks, why don't we go through the first finding?
That was difficult.
Folks, first finding, I'm going to ask them, did everyone just take a minute and read this to themselves? If there's a question, let's raise it. Anybody have a concern or question on one? How about two? Any issues? All right, you want to go to the next ones, please? Okay, I'll say.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Next one.
Oh, you want me to run? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize.
any issues with either three or four, folks? Okay. All right. Are there any unusual conditions there?
Nope.
All right. Seeing none, any questions or comments by any member of the committee? All right, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor of approval? Eight in favor, none opposed. Thank you very much. Mr. Morris, you know our procedure. Good luck, sir.
Thank you very much.
Hope this goes well.
Just for the record, I coached the Cardinals. He played for the Cardinals back in 82, but I did not coach him.
Oh, okay.
So,
good night.
Thank you all.
Good night. Something went wrong tonight.
We're adjourned. We're adjourned, folks. 8 o'clock. Thank you.